perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. This is Young Catholics Respond, and it is a pleasure to have you joining me today, no matter where you are listening from. Thank you so much for being a part of our ministry. I want to remind you that there's many ways you can connect with our ministry. The easiest is to go to our website, www.patchworkheart.org, and check out the many things we have going on. There's so much more than just our podcast. So check it out and connect with us on social media as well, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those good things that you're able to connect with us on. I don't want to spend too much time talking about ourselves today because we have a wonderful guest. His name is Father Ed Looney, and he was ordained a priest for the Archdiocese. The Archdiocese of Green Bay in June of 2015, and he is an internationally recognized Marian theologian, writer, speaker, and radio personality. He is the author of best-selling books, A Heart Like Mary's, A Rosary Litany, and his new one, A Lenten Journey with Mother Mary. He has also written several works on the American-approved Marian apparition received by Adele Bryce in 1859 in Champion, Wisconsin. He currently serves as the administrator of two rural Wisconsin parishes. So it's wonderful to have you, Father Looney, on the program. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah. Yes, always a pleasure to be with you and to help you in the good work that you do to spread God's word and kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're doing just that with your newest book, A Lenten Journey with Mother Mary. So let's talk a little bit about the new book today. I know Lent is rapidly approaching, as it always does, right after the Christmas season. We seem to be gearing up for Lent. So talk with us a little bit about the new book.
Sure. You know, it's interesting that you say that it's rapidly approaching. I remember the first year that I was in the new parishes that I've been at for 2.5 years now, I said to the RE coordinator, well, Christmas is here, but, you know, soon it'll be Easter before you know it. And he came to me on Easter. And he's like, I know you said that. And it was so true. Like we blinked and here's Easter already. And so, yeah, you know, Advent that we just celebrated and then leading up to Christmas and the Christmas season, you know, that's a time of preparation for that special feast day of the Lord's Nativity. But of course, the church gives us the season of Lent beginning on Ash Wednesday, this time of prayer, penance, fasting, almsgiving, in order to prepare ourselves for that great work that Jesus accomplished by his death on the cross, but also then his resurrection from the dead. And a lot of people during the Lenten season, they just love to do a little more. So oftentimes people might pick up the rosary and they might pray it more regularly, or the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But growing in popularity, of course, are always those devotional books. Parishes put out the little books that, you know, they pay a buck for or something like that. But then other authors write kind of longer works that are picked up by major publishers. So a little more costly, but also a way that we can journey through the Lenten season. And that's really what I did with A Lenten Journey with Mother Mary. The book's genesis came about really because in Advent, so going back to the season of Advent, two Advents ago, Donna Cooper O'Boyle came out with a book called Advent with Our Lady of Fatima, so that 1917 Marian apparition. And I bought it, of course, because I'm a Marian theologian. I'm like, oh, you know, Advent, Mary, they go hand in hand. Our Lady of Fatima was a centennial year. I'm like, I'll take a read of this. And so I did. And as I was praying my way through that book, I just thought, well, you know, wouldn't it be nice if the same publisher had a Lenten book with the Blessed Mother and along the same genre and theme and whatnot. And that's basically how A Lenten Journey with Mother Mary came about. But there were many other experiences that informed the process of writing the book. And really, it all came to a head in Lourdes, France. I was in Lourdes for 7-8 days doing a retreat myself. And as I was praying there on the last day, I went to the restaurant that I go to for most of my meals when I'm a solo pilgrim to France. And And an American walks in and speaks English, asks questions. And of course, being in France, you don't hear much English. And so anytime that a solo individual comes in, I'm always interested in like talking to them, knowing why they're there, where they're from, what brought them there, all those things. And so this lady wasn't any exception. I did the same thing that I would do for any person. And so I asked her, I said, "Well, where are you from?" And she said, "Chicago." And I'm from Wisconsin. I was actually wearing a Packer jacket that day. And so we kind of joked a little bit about that. And so then she ended up sitting down at table and we had a conversation. And it was a very powerful conversation. I said, "Why are you here?" And then she went on to share about her story of pilgrimage. So when someone goes on an international trip to one of these holy sites, usually it's about 8 to 10 days, maybe 14 days. But she was on a 2-month-long journey. And so she was off of work, took this time away, and she was going through a big struggle in her life. And one of the things she did was, the first thing she did was she did the El Camino, the Way of Saint James, walking from, a pilgrimage spot in Spain all the way through the country to get to the place where Saint James is. And she told me, "I did that because I wanted to let go of certain things in my life." And I said, "Oh, that's really beautiful. That's a beautiful spiritual lesson right there of detachment." And then she said, "Well, then after I got to Spain, I went to Fatima in Portugal." And she said, "I went there because I wanted to find forgiveness. I wanted to be forgiven. I wanted to forgive other people in my life." And again, a very beautiful spiritual gesture. She found herself in Lourdes. She sat across from me, and in Lourdes, she said, and of course, Lourdes is known for healing, the miraculous spring of water that Saint Bernadette found in 1858 at the instruction of Our Lady. She said, "I'm here to find healing." And she was going through some medical stuff, so healing physically, but she had a lot of emotional wounds and wanted to find healing in that regard. And then she said at the very end, she said, "Well, and then after this, I really want to go to Poland. I want to go to see Fa Saint Faustina and the Divine Mercy." And of course, on the Divine Mercy image, it says, "Jesus, I trust in you." And she wanted to go there in order to increase her trust in God and in God's love and mercy and trust in God's will. And it wasn't until I sat down to write this book that I remembered this story of this young lady. And I thought, boy, maybe that should be the pattern of this book. Maybe that should be the way that we go through our Lent. And so with Mary as our guide, I do just that. Mary has appeared all throughout the world in different places and has given messages. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to present those messages in a very, like bite-sized way, give a reflection. How is it that we can live these messages of the Blessed Mother? And so I divided the book into these different categories. The first week was just examining our conscience. So following that pattern of her pilgrimage, that's letting go. So in my life, I realized there are certain things I need to let go of and to detach from. And then the next few weeks is just prayers of petition that really we see different things that are different people and things that we should pray for and to use the messages of Mary to inform us in that. And then to really learn how to pray. So Mary, when she appears to some of these people, gives them specific ways to pray. And so to introduce us to different styles and methods of prayer. And then we go into healing. And then before you know it, it's already Holy Week and then Easter, and there's a little postlude, kind of an after Lent excursion with trust and Saint Faustina. So that's a Lenten journey with Mother Mary in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's so beautiful how you really talk about this, and how you also modeled it on an experience that you had, an encounter with a young lady. I think that that's such a beautiful thing. I want to ask you a little bit about the Marian apparitions, because you are so devoted to Our Lady, I know, and there might be people out there that struggle with the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary that might be listening to this, did that really happen? You know, and I know that there's one that's a church approved right in your neck of the woods, up there in Green Bay. So talk with us a little bit about the theology of the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary and how we can enter into them. I mean, your book is a great way to enter into them, but talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So, you know, when we talk about Marian apparitions, they fall within something we call private revelation, that an individual has a conversation with a heavenly person. And so it's private. It's not necessary to believe in it. It's different than, so if we have private revelation, of course, we have public revelation. And so the public revelation is the Gospels. The public revelation is the life of Jesus. And then it ends with the death of the last apostle. Everything of public revelation, we must assent to. We must give our faith. We must give our faith to the public revelation. But when it comes to these private revelations, these apparitions like Saint Juan Diego received in Guadalupe, or the Fatima children, or you know, or some of the lesser known apparitions like Pontmain or Borang or Bonneau or wherever it is in the world, these messages, though, if you look at them, they always really are an invitation to live the gospel. It's always an invitation back to prayer, to find our way back to God. And you don't have to believe in them. A lot of people who are devoted to the Blessed Mother are also devoted to these apparitions, and they notice that they help them in their faith, that they become a guide of living the spiritual life. And so really that's the gift, that God so loved the world that not only did he send his son Jesus to die on the cross, but then he also, after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. Well, now he sends his mother in order to be able to give us a message and to listen to the voice of Mary as she speaks about her son. You know, the idea of apparitions isn't something that should be foreign to us. It's actually, you know, I often point out that we see apparitions even in the public revelation, in the scriptures, that when Jesus, when Jesus went up the mountain on the Mount of Transfiguration, he's there with his disciples, the three of them, and they see Moses, they see Elijah, they see people who are in heaven, and they hear the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And we can really be inspired by that. But we see it that these apparitions find a root somewhat in the sacred scriptures, that the dead can come back and speak to those here below.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what a beautiful way you've highlighted that for us and for listeners, because this truly is a way for you to enter into prayer and receive some more messages from God. And it, you know, it might not be happening to you directly, like, you know, the Blessed Mother doesn't just come down and speak to me directly, but through these seers, through these people who encounter her and these messages of love, as you're talking about, we then can have a deeper faith. And again, as you mentioned, they're not necessary. You don't have to believe them to be, you know, the calling card Catholic, but they help us, sure, move us into a deeper awareness and prayer, as you've highlighted so beautiful for us, Father Looney. So I encourage everybody to pick up a copy of this book. It's called Lenten Journey with Mother Mary. It's through the Sophia Institute Press. Of course, you can get it on sophiainstitute.com and anywhere books are sold, but of course support your local Catholic bookstores as well. We got to take that short break here, Father Looney. When we come back, I want to continue our conversation about this book and with you about the Blessed Virgin Mary, because it's such a fascinating and amazing topic. So we'll be right back after these messages here on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147, or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
The St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation for Freedom, Family, and Faith offers prayerful accompaniment for those who are affected by divorce and separation. We offer free online support meetings for those affected by divorce and for adult children of divorce. You can learn more about us at nonatus.org. That's nonatus.org. Text or call 215-870-9913.
For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, Our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, she is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to Our Blessed Mother, please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond, everybody. I'm Bill Snyder. Today, my guest is Father Edward Looney, and we're talking with him about his latest book, Lenten Journey with Mother Mary. It's, again, published by Sophia Institute Press, and you can find it there on sophiainstitute.com, and, of course, many other ways you can purchase Catholic books, Amazon, and everything else. But, Father Looney, we were talking during the break, and, you know, I think a great topic to maybe talk about in preparing for Lent are some of the things that we need to repent of. And so I hear you got a great chapter in the book all about what do we need to repent of. So tell us about that chapter and maybe give us some direction in our lives for what we need to repent of and how do we repent.
Yeah, you know, what do we need to repent of? And that's what we try to do during the season of Lent. And that's the story of Jonah going to Nineveh and calling them to repentance. It's why the prophets rose up and spoke their message. And we really take that to heart, that maybe there's different areas in our life we need to grow in, to leave something behind. And that's why it's in the first week of examining your conscience, letting go of these things of our life. And when I was in Lourdes, so the same trip when I met the young lady on the last day, you meet interesting people when you travel, especially when you travel solo. And this was definitely the case. And I was at English Mass every day and there was a young couple there. And I'm like, oh, they had a baby, I think, with them too, if I recall. And I just thought, I'm like, wow, that's, you know, it's really nice. This young couple is here. And I'm like, why are they here? Again, those questions, why are you here? What brought you here? What are you praying for? And I knew that I wanted to meet with them. I knew I wanted to talk with them. And I did talk with them after Mass one day. I asked them where they were from, England. And we talked a little bit, but I was still curious about them. There was something about them that intrigued me. And Wouldn't you know, it was like the second to last day, and I'm walking around the streets of Lourdes, and I happened upon them, and it was right about time for dinner. And I asked them, I said, well, what are you doing for dinner? I'm going to go out to eat right now, and maybe you'd like to join me. And so they did. We had a conversation, which was very interesting. One of the most interesting experiences of my life, I bet. But there I am sitting at table with them, and I asked maybe the wrong question. I said, well, what do you do for a living? And the guy says, well, Father, I can't lie to you because you're a priest. He said, I'm a thief. I'm like, what? You're a thief? Like, that's not a profession. You're a thief? And he said, yeah, I'm a thief. And he's like, I break into cars, I steal things, and then I sell them. I'm like, oh. And then he volunteered to pay for the dinner. And I'm like, I don't know if I want you to pay for the dinner. I don't know who's buying this, you know, which person you robbed, right? And so I was intrigued. So at dinner then, they're talking about going on pilgrimage and how they love, you know, places all throughout the world. Like, you know, they've been to some alleged apparition sites like Medjugorje, and then you know, they loved Fatima. And I began to wonder, I'm like, well, do you like these pilgrimage spots because it's a great place for you to steal things? You know, like I had all these questions. And after he really confessed this, if you will, well, I said to him, I said, well, did you go to confession while you were here? And he said, yes, yeah, we went to confession. I said, well, do you tell the priest that you stole things? And he said, yes. And I'm like, well, then what did he say? And what did he give you for a penance? And he told me and whatnot. But it was funny because then it was during Advent, and I was just thinking about that story. And I wondered, well, did that guy really repent of that? And so, because when we go to confession, we should have the resolve to try to do better, to amend our life, to sin no more, as the act of contrition says. And I'm like, well, how did this guy repent of these sins, you know? And that was something that I began to think about. And that, you know, during the Lenten season, that's a good opportunity for us to do. So, like, what would have repentance looked like for him? Well, first it'd be to realize that stealing is wrong and that he shouldn't take things that people have bought for themselves. The second would be to be sincere in prayer, and confessing it would be the next step. And third, to give some money to charity as a way to make up for taking things, for stealing things. That's like making the reparation. And then lastly, to make that resolve to not steal again, and maybe trying to find a job. So in our own lives, we know that there are certain sins that we need to repent of and take action with. And I think the message of Our Lady during the Lenten season, as we think about her apparitions, is one that challenges us. Mary said in Fatima, are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings he wills to send you as an act of reparation for the conversion of sinners? So really, that reparation is to make up for the wrong that we have done. And that's what we try to do during the Lenten season. And Mother Mary can help us with that.
Yeah, absolutely. What a fascinating story. And you really bring up a very good point about reparation and also repentance. Because, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, feel the... when we go to confession, and there's probably a lot of young people out there listening to this, and we go to confession, yeah, God forgives us of our sin, and yes, he removes the eternal punishment. We're not going to go to hell for our sin after we confess our sins to a priest and you know, are truly sorry for them. But then we've got to go that extra step, right? We got to go that extra step to say, okay, if I'm truly sorry, I have to repent of it. I have to truly show that I'm not going to go back to this way of life, that I'm going to, you know, move beyond this. And that can be a journey sometimes too, right? It's not, you know, if we're addicted to stealing, if we're addicted to certain behaviors, you know, especially, you know, if this man's got a, you know, a wife and kids, and he needs to look for a, you know, a new job and all of those things, you know, it's not as easy and cut and dry as, you know, sometimes is, okay, I'm done with this. And so there's a repentance, there's a reparation. We have to turn over our will to God a little bit to help with that process, right?
Definitely. And, you know, that's where our personal prayer comes in. We ask God for that help. In the Catholic tradition, we believe that Mary is the mediatrix of grace, that God has chosen to dispense graces through his mother. And so we ask her intercession, and she can mediate that grace from her son for us. And it's, I think sometimes it's just to name it, to say, this is where I need the most help in my life. And as we begin to pray for it, we begin to realize how God is helping us through it and in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's another aspect of this as well, that we also have wounds in parts of us that need to be healed too, right, Father? Like there, you know, sin wounds us, sin wounds others. And so we are also in need of Christ's healing. And during this season of Lent, how do we experience that? I mean, the Blessed Mother offers a ton of consolation in moments as well, right?
Definitely. There's lots of healing that our world needs, as you touch upon. And we can think about the healing people need physically. And when Mary appeared, that was the message in Lourdes. That was the message in Bonneau, Belgium. And a lot of these apparition sites become centers of healing. That even in Champion, Wisconsin, when Mary appeared there, there are crutches that have been left behind. And people testify to the fact that they've experienced extraordinary graces by being at this holy place, that they were able to kick bad habits, that they were able to, you know, that they were physically healed, that they experienced emotional healing or were able to forgive. So there's all these different types of healing that we're in need of. And if we just basically ask for it, if we pray for it, you know, there's, you can think of the different emotional healings that people need, whether it's in a bad marriage where constantly abusive or verbally, and how healing is needed in the heart and how that wounds a person. It could be healing that is needed because someone is struggling with fertility, that they're married and they want to have kids and they just can't. And so there's many shrines to the Blessed Mother called Our Lady of La Leche. And I bring that out in the book, that because it's one of my favorite devotions to the Blessed Mother. And really, in my own life, I know so many that struggle with fertility that I took that on as a personal prayer charism, to pray for couples like that. There was a couple, I visited the shrine in St. Augustine last year, and right around this time in January or February, and now they're expecting a child in May. And so I prayed, and thanks be to God, they were able to conceive, but it was something that they were told was not really possible.
Wow.
You know, so all these different stories of healing, we all know someone who needs healing. We need healing ourselves. And so again, we can entrust that to the intercession of Mary and to ask her to obtain from her son that grace of healing for us.
Yeah, absolutely. How beautiful. Father Looney, I want to thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and your just beautiful brand new book, A Lenten Journey with Mother Mary. Of course, check out all his other books. You've got so many great ways to continue helping people along their faith journey, from the Rosary Litany to all of those other great books, A Heart Like Mary's. It's a pleasure to talk with you, Father. And so thank you so much for being here today. And it's just a blessing. And I hope many, many people go out and get a copy of your book at SophiaInstitute.com. Again, it's A Lenten Journey with Mother Mary.
Yeah, I hope that Mary can help us to experience Lent, and we can walk with her just as she walked with Jesus all throughout her life, that she can walk with us during Lent in our own spiritual lives. And then during Holy Week, we really stand with her beneath the foot of the cross, seeing her tears and as she sorrows at the death of her son. So may it be a blessed and fruitful Lent for everyone.
Absolutely. And Father, real quick, before I let you go, can you please give us and our listeners a blessing?
Sure. So through the intercession of Mary, the Mother of God, may she obtain from her Son Jesus all the graces that you need to live devoutly the Christian life. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org Or, to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.